Hi, everybody. It's Mike McCabe with Our Wisconsin Revolution. Happy New Year. I've lost count of the number of times I've watched It's a Wonderful Life. It must be north of 40. Yet with the gap between the rich and the rest widening, and the country's middle class losing ground, and with hate on the rise, and the nation's political system so thoroughly corrupted, the classic story of one man's absence causing idyllic Bedford Falls to transform into the nightmarish Pottersville resonates more than ever. America feels more and more like Pottersville. The movie's battle of wills between public-spirited George Bailey and greedy Mr. Potter has always symbolized social and economic tensions between America's privileged rich and struggling working class. If anything, those tensions are stronger and more dangerous now than they were when the film was made in 1946. It's hard to see It's a Wonderful Life as anything but an indictment of warped values putting commercialism above community. Even though the story plays out against a backdrop of the nation and its federal government winning World War II, an accomplishment treated with great pride and respect, there's that scene where Mr. Potter is fuming about how George Bailey's business practices are besting his own. His secretary interrupts to remind him of an appointment with a congressman, and he angrily sputters, "Tell the congressman to wait." The viewpoint is unmistakable. The richest man in town has more access to and control over his elected representative than others in the community have. Conditions in this regard are much worse now. Compared to 1946, government is far less trusted and is seen as far more corrupt in today's America. There's plenty in the mythical Bedford Falls and Pottersville to make both liberals and conservatives squirm. The movie's religious themes are not subtle, even though George Bailey admits, in a prayer, ironically enough, that he is not a praying man. It's a Wonderful Life tells a story of divine intervention prompted by the prayers of friends, family, and admirers of George's as he considers taking his own life. Such piety causes indigestion for many modern liberals. At the same time, Mr. Potter is the film's villain. He is a vile, soulless money grubber, but is a tame caricature of today's crony capitalists who've done such violence to small family-owned businesses like the Bailey Building and Loan, and who hold such sway over today's Republican Party. Mr. Potter's antisocial self-absorption pales in comparison to the trendsetter of modern American conservatism who has held the nation's highest office these past 4 years. The values today's lawmakers put on display as they practice politics and pass bills and build budgets are not George Bailey's, or for that matter, those we were all taught in kindergarten. Share, take turns and play fair, don't hit, say you're sorry when you hurt someone, don't take things that aren't yours, clean up your mess, stick together. The golden rule is hard to find, both in the actions and the behavior of those doing the acting. What a better country America would be if our politics didn't so often scream, "You are on your own," and instead reflected that we're all in this together and need to look out for each other. What a healthier planet we would have if governments and businesses and consumers alike picked up after themselves and put things back where they found them. How sane and just our society would be if public policies matched those sandbox values, if we stuck together and shared and treated others as we like being treated. If we had a little more Bailey and a lot less Potter. For Our Wisconsin Revolution, I'm Mike McCabe.